4th of February. I'm interviewing Maurice Bailey Delator of Waipakarau. Bailey's a very successful businessman and farmer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
And I'll leave this for you to tell us your story on your family. It's all yours.
All my family and grandparents and great-grandparents came to New Zealand fairly early on. The Delator family, great-grandfather Delator CA, settled in Otago in 1863 and farmed there for a while before he actually got injured with a horse accident. He then went into Parliament, was there for a couple of terms, put himself through law and eventually moved to Gisborne and practiced there for a number of years. He was, I think, the first chairman of Gisborne Sheep Farmers Co-op. And after he retired from law, he actually managed the Cartier Freezing Works for a few years till his early 80s. He had 17 children, one of which was my grandfather, Harry Delator, initially found near East Cape, and then later near to Gisborne, Remutau and Waimata. And he married the daughter of Humphrey Bailey. She died when children were young, and my grandfather married Jocelyn Lusk. On my mother's side, grandfather was J.R. Murphy, who and his father settled at Tolaka Bay back in the 1860s, I guess. And mother was Miriam, and she married my father, who was Humphrey Maurice Bailey Delator, who farmed in Wairoa, served overseas in the 20th Army Regiment, and fought through Italy, and later helped start the Territorial Armoured Regiment in Wairoa, and eventually he was commander of the Queen Elizabeth Tank Squadron, Hawke's Bay. I went to Christ College and didn't go on to university. I bought a farm in southern Hawke's Bay, Te Whangai. It was basically scrub. I think they had 400 acres clear out of the 2,200 acres. So we had a long period of development. There were only five paddocks, so we had 100 miles of fencing. We didn't have a wool shed. We had to build a wool shed and shearer's quarters. In 1958, I married Shona Hobson from the Manawatu and then continued to break in the land and have five children. We lost one aged five. We built quite a substantial homestead in the mid-60s, and eventually I retired from there and we built the farm from approximately 2,800 stock units to about a bit over 20,000. In the meantime, we'd bought another small farm down at Takapa, and I farmed there for another 30 years. Largely farmed deer and a bit of cropping and fat lambs. At one stage, we had 1,300 deer. In my time there, I got pretty involved with a number of organisations. I was a director from earlier on, Hawke's Bay Farmers, and helped start the East Coast Wool Co-op and East Coast Venison. And the Wool Co-op is still going today. We actually formed a joint venture with Elders in 2005, and that's now been taken over. The Elders was bought out by Carr family in the South Island, and I'm still a director of Carfield's Primary Wool. So that's where we are today. I've virtually retired from farming and planning to retire from the directorships later in the year.
Hey, just going back to 1952, the intake for compulsory military training, what service did you...
We only had one choice, I think, in Wairoa, and that was infantry. So I was a foot slogger for 3 years of CMT.
Stationed where?
Well, we used to do our annual camp up in Wairoa, out in the Wop Wops. That was quite an interesting experience, I guess, because I didn't do weekend camps because I was shepherding up in Gisborne. And so I used to have to go up in an advance party, which meant driving a 3-ton truck from Wairoa, and then we camped in the tussocks with no latrines or tents or anything. We had to put them all up, bathe in the creek in midwinter. Quite an experience.
How was the venison trade? Was that worthwhile when you look back?
Yeah, very successful. Earlier on, we actually employed Craig Hickson to manage a little plant and the co-op. So basically we didn't have any other infrastructure, but paid him a fee, and we were actually the first farmer owned, or in fact pretty well the first venison company other than Mayors, I think. Initially we halved the venison slaughter price and made a profit every year until we later joined up with the Deer Industry Association to buy out rights and form Venison New Zealand, which I chaired for a while, and we had a plant in Southland as well as the original East Coast venison plants in Fielding and Hastings. But we had a change of chairman, and very soon we ran out of money, and I guess things weren't managed very well. So that unfortunately went down the drain.
I see. Here you were runner-up of the Farmer of the Year. Who won that?
David Kitto was the winner, I guess. David Kitto, and Sam Robinson was another runner-up.
1980.
That was in 1980, yeah.
Then you get on to Carfields, but now they're the people taking over Farmers Transport. Is that correct?
Carfield? Yes, well, Carfields took over from, bought out Elders, and we've got 12 depots or collection points, I guess, and we were operating in Napier, and we've actually moved. Carfields bought the Hawke's Bay Farmers Transport area. It's subleased to Hawke's Bay Farmers Transport, which is now Richardson's in South Island. Yes, so that's the main store. We also have stores in Timaru, Mosgiel, Gore, Invercargill, Masterton, Whanganui, Dannevirk, and Tequiti. So, yes, quite a big business.
One sees their trucks all over Hawke's Bay.
The Farmers Transport? Mm. No, we don't own that.
Oh, you don't own that. Mm.
The Primary Wool Co-op did own a transport business, which is AWE McNichols, which we sold later on. Still operates in quite a big way.
So you were president of the Christ College Old Boys Association back in 85. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, interesting time, I guess. One of the things I think that I hadn't mentioned before is that I couldn't have done most of these things if I hadn't learned to fly and bought an aeroplane. So I actually did 4,000 hours of flying up till 3 years ago when I had to give it up. I got leptospirosis. So one period I was actually managing the primary wool business, which had originally been East Coast Wool Co-op, and used to fly down and meet the bank manager in Christchurch once a month and get round the branches. I could get round all the North Island branches in the morning by plane, which would have taken 2 days of driving.
And what sort of plane was it?
A Cessna, four-seater Cessna. But during my period as president of Christ College, vice president for 1 year and then president the second, but I didn't miss a meeting. It wasn't normal for a North Island president to actually attend any, I don't think. But I attended every meeting and flew down there. And then obviously I used the plane at a period doing quality assurance. I was part of a team that developed the first meat quality assurance system. And I was later on an auditor and audited from Dannevirk right up to East Cape. And once again, I went from farm to farm in the aeroplane, which meant I could do twice as many farms in a day as anybody else could.
And they had their own landing strips, most of them?
Yeah, I think I probably landed on just about every airstrip between here and East Cape. One airstrip out towards East Cape, I only found out while I was doing the job that there was an airstrip out there. It had been put in about 15 years before and never been used, so no one knew it was there. Yeah. Anyway, that worked out okay.
Tell me a little bit about the wool business. You've really taken that on in later life as well, haven't you?
Well, yeah.
You're a guiding light in that.
Well, I've been very interested in it. The wool is a very important part of sheep farming. At the moment, it's going through some doldrums. Hopefully, when people wake up, the benefits of wool will revive. And the quicker we get rid of the plastic, the better. But yes, so I've been interested in wool for a long time. I think probably as far as the farming side of it's concerned, I've been more interested in the genetic side and the ram breeding, which is developed on. Son Hamish now is selling nearly 700 rams, a big lot down the South Island, and that's turned into a very successful business.
Yes, some of my friends say Bay Delator is the king of the wool business.
Right. Yeah, farming's been my real life, and the other things have just been add-ons. I got dragged into the political scene at one stage, but that wasn't very successful because having to take over the chairmanship of Tuki Tuki Electric.
From?
Well, there wasn't a Tuki Tuki Electric.
Oh, you were the first one?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So Cynthia Bowers, actually, she was in charge and she pulled out. I'd come from Paiatua, where I'd been on their committee for about 10 or 15 years.
Right.
Very big involvement with National Party policy.
So you would have learned through Keith Holyoake, he was that Paiatua.
Well, John Falloon had taken over the time I got there. I mean, certainly Keith Holyoake, we used to see quite a lot of him at our local branch meetings and so on. But yes, John rang me up and asked if I'd be the policy chairman. So in those days, the members, I guess, the grassroots actually ran the National Party. Now we've gone away from that, and it's virtually a board of directors, I think, unfortunately. The branch structures have disappeared, and membership must have declined hugely.
Yes. And the Waiapu Diocesan Synod?
I guess involved in that as well.
There's a lot of old boys from the Christ College that have been involved in the church from leaving.
Yes, I guess.
It was rammed down our throat at school.
I guess most of this was rammed down our throats. I often wonder why I do all these things for nothing when other people do it for themselves and become millionaires or billionaires.
Yes.
But I guess at Hereworth it was rammed down our neck, that you virtually looked after other people, not yourself.
That's right. Yes.
Yes, not for yourselves alone.
School committee at Leamington, that'll be interesting. My word, you've moved around. And then founder of the East Coast Support Trust.
That was probably, in a way, my biggest achievement, I think. The rural support was originally started by Longy and Peter Elworthy.
Right.
And then they folded that, and there was nothing following it. So I got involved and started a rural support on the East Coast. We already had the existing coordinators from the original trust. It was Peter Bailey, was it? Rick Usher and Danneberg helped me put it together, and we then added Gisborne to it and the Wairarapa. But now I think it's more of a national organisation rather than East Coast, and the government mainly support it.
And congratulations, I didn't realise that you got a gong from the government. What year was that?
2000.
Congratulations.
Yes, well, I don't know. Just, I think probably the Rural Support Trust was possibly one of the reasons for that, I think. I don't know just where it started or who put it forward. Shona and I are extremely proud of our children. Ellis Hamish took over farming from me in 1984-85, and has carried on with the stud breeding, and has also come with me as a director of Primary Wool and Carfield's Primary Wool, and has become a director of New Zealand Yarns, which Hamish and I actually purchased for Elders Primary Wool about 4 years ago. He's been a director ever since, and I pulled out early in the piece as chairman for a wee while. So Hamish, I guess, his earlier years, the sport was polo, and William, our second son, also played a lot of polo and played up to senior level, I guess. Yeah, the second son, William, he was head pre at Hereworth and then head pre at Christ College, and was very involved in sport at Christ. He actually had more colours than the most colours of any of the prefects or whatever, first 11, first 15, for a couple of years. And then our eldest was Jane, and she married Larry White at Barnsdale. She's been very involved in the family farming business there, which has grown now with quite a big dairy farm and a big lot of cropping. Her son, Edward, is now living in the house that we built on Highway 50. And I think he's probably growing much the same amount of grain as Hugh Ritchie. I know the other day when I was talking to him that about halfway through harvesting, they'd done 2,000 tonnes of grain. So yes, Jane's been involved, helped set Women in Farming, an organisation that was based in the Wairarapa for a start, but it's now New Zealand wide.
Barnsdale, now where's that?
Yes, at Ashley Clinton, just off Highway 50. The White family have been there for the fourth generation, I think, now. And our youngest daughter, Kate, after doing a degree, she went overseas and worked in broadcasting for a while over there, and then came back and managed a radio station in Auckland, and then was producer for Radio New Zealand Sport for a number of years, and got married, went back to BBC, and was newsreader for BBC World Service Sport before coming home and then starting a family. Married an English boy, Roland Norman. His claim to fame, I guess, was his father was Desmond Norman, who developed and built the aeroplanes. Anyway, they grew a few grapes, actually, on our Highway 50 farm. But now she's actually working for the Ice House in Napier, so she works out of the business hub in Napier. They have three children, two boys took care of with. We did have another son who died of a brain tumor when he was five, so that was a bit sad.
And it's nice to have all the family around, isn't it?
Yeah, well, most of our grandchildren are around. Actually, we've got 15 grandchildren, and we've got 12 great-grandchildren, and we're expecting some twins very soon. So hopefully that's all successful, we'll be up to 14.
Haven't you done well?
So, yeah. So they're all handy, except one grandson's over in England, and has two daughters over there. He went to England as a professional polo player originally, married the person that runs a polo ground's daughter.
And you're keeping good health?
Reasonable health, but like to be a bit younger, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, we all would.
The legs get a bit tired after a few hours of work.
Punching thistles out.
Mostly punching and bulldozing, what have you. But anyway, in my earlier farming years, I was supported by the Hawke's Bay Farmers Co-op and actually banked through them originally. But in 1974, I was approached to become a director, which I accepted, just the time that Athol Hutton started. And I think from talk you hear, I think he was rather maligned. He had a lot of ideas, and I guess he had no part in the failure of the company. I guess we were growing. But from the time I joined, we used to have the share register on the table. And Bridie started buying shares from the time we listed. And when we got to 20%, at this point, Jim Scotland was the CEO. Athol Hutton had gone to manage Waitaki Freezing Company. And then the Bridie shareholding grew to 20%, and they demanded a seat on the board. Trevor Byer, who was their deputy chairman, became a director. And I think he probably took one look at the books and realised that everything was very undervalued, basically, in the books at historic values. And he then made a takeover offer. This was not long after we'd actually joined up with Dalgetty's, North Island part of Dalgetty's, to become Hawke's Bay Farmers Dalgetty. And he offered a Bridie share for a Hawke's Bay Farmers share, which the shareholders, especially one or two bigger ones around Hastings, couldn't turn down. I think at that time it was about $3.50 a share. And later they got to $7 before they actually canned, basically, in the 1987 slump. But it was surprising that Williamson Kettles did exactly the same thing, listed. And I think Mr. Cushing probably pushed them over to Wrightson, or encouraged Wrightson to take them over. But it's interesting now, and you mentioned that you had worked when you were young for Levin & Co. I think there's about 17 companies that are now part of Wrightson, which is struggling. And I think in present dollars, the Hawke's Bay Farmers turnover would have been pretty similar to Wrightson now. And because we had department stores, and wine and spirits, finance, travel, you name it, pretty well everything that moved, and we'd taken over Common Shelton's and Gisborne. So it was quite a big company at the time, taken over and broken up, sold in bits.
I see in here you've got Alternate Cook's Wines.
Yes, it was just a Cowden Kirkpatrick's alternate. We had quite a big share in Cook's Wines. We had a forestry group, wine group, horticulture. Yeah, very diversified.
I remember when they first started, actually.
Cook's?
Yeah, and I went with Hughes and Cossett. They were big shareholders too.
Right. I'm not sure what, we might have been 20% or something like that.
He was the winemaker then, the CEO.
I can't remember. I went to a couple of meetings in Auckland. Callum was overseas, and I actually flew Jim Scotland. We flew up. I flew both times, because I bought the plane in 1974.
And you landed Ardmore?
We landed, Auckland Airport. In those days, it was no problem. We used to park on a bit of grass just alongside the terminal, and just walk over. About 10 years ago, I went in there, and you had to park away to hill around the back somewhere. And then when I went to go back to the plane, the guards wanted to march me down there, and then they wanted to see my license, which I didn't have in the airplane. So, yeah, I never went back again. So, yeah, later on, I used to learn about more.
Bay, anything else you want to tell me?
No, that's about it.
They all say that, and then later on, they talk on. Well, thank you, Bay, for that talk. On behalf of the Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank,